Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. We are excited to be with you this afternoon going into the evening. Amen. I'm very, very excited about what the Lord has put in my heart to share with you. We're going to be coming from Zechariah chapter number 4. We're going to complete. I don't know if we're going to complete it, but we're going to go in the direction that we went in earlier today. And we'll see what the Lord wants to do. While you're turning to Zechariah chapter 4, amen, I want to appreciate my great friend, amen, apostle, pastor. I always call him the doctor, Dr. Luke. Amen. We appreciate him. Amen. Without his connection, we would not be here. Amen. So, amen. We certainly appreciate him. And, you know, it's so many preachers that are not easy to get along with. Some of you may know what I'm talking about, but Pastor Luke is a very, very easy person to get along with, and I appreciate that about him. Amen. Well, how many of you are ready tonight for what the Lord has for you? Glory to God. All right, so we're going to go in Zechariah chapter number four, and I want to start off just showing you a couple of things. We'll be in Zechariah chapter 4, and then we'll be switching over to Revelation chapter number 11. Amen. But I want to make sure that I get some points out very quickly. Amen. Before the atmosphere shifts. It's impossible for the people of God to come together and the atmosphere not shift. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter number 4. Amen. And we're going to go down to verse number 6. Where we started, verse number 6. And I want to read to you down to verse number 10. All right, so Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through verse number 10. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. I want you, if you will, just to stand with me for one moment. We're going to flow a little differently. And we want to engage the Spirit of God just for a second in prayer. Amen. Just for about 30 seconds or so. And I want everybody, amen, in the environment, amen, just to begin to pray in the Spirit for about 30 seconds. Amen. And we want to stir up. The Bible says to fan the flame. Amen. So we want to stir up the gift of God. That gift, amen, is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just begin to pray right now in the Holy Spirit. Come on and release. Just a few more seconds. Shanana makohoshe. Kimamama shakarabakohosheke. Bashamanana masata. Makarama. Just a few more seconds. Change the atmosphere to a supernatural one. Shindere bohosheke ba. Sandarabashe. Father, we thank you tonight for your glory. We thank you tonight for the supernatural. We thank you tonight, Father. Manifest yourself in this place tonight. hallelujah, confirm, reveal, release. Oh, shall not my hey say. We thank you right now for your will being done. Glory to God. Father, we pray even tonight. Hallelujah. As hallelujah, Pastor. Glory to God, Walker, begin to share concerning the revival in Uganda. We pray tonight that something would break out in this house. Let something break out in Atlanta. Shandabamaka. Come on, just push a couple more seconds. Hallelujah. Come on, it's your hunger that causes the release. We thank you for the supernatural. We thank you for manifestation. Oshanamake. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Cause us to rise. Cause us to rise. Cause us to rise. Shanama. Just keep going for a few seconds. I feel an elevation in the spirit. Kina Mahoshe. Cause us to rise. Cause this church to rise. Cause your servant to rise. Let his wife rise. Let the staff rise. Shandamaka. Shokorose. Mananamashe. Kinamohoshe. God, we said earlier that we don't want church as usual. We don't want it as usual. We want the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for vision. Thank you for revelation. Glory to God. Thank you for it now. I almost don't want to stop you because I'm feeling something. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Samanana mahasheke bahoshema. Brakana manana mahashata. Jesus' name. Shana makahoshema. Sanade mahoshe. Jesus, Shanamaka, son, Shkeba Narabahoshe, Salamaha Shekeba, Akarabashkeba. All right, in the name of Jesus. Wow. You can be seated. As we pick up in verse number 8. Hallelujah. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. Glory to God. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Now we're going to continue tonight talking about power prophets, but before we do so, amen, I want to just shift for a second, amen, and I want to more so, I mean, obviously we could have had this conversation just amongst ourselves, myself and your pastor, but I believe, amen, that what I'm about to share needs to be heard in a public setting, so I didn't share it in a private sense, amen, but the Bible says that the hands of Zerubbabel that laid the foundation of the house will be able to do what? Finish the house. Amen. And I want you to understand tonight, saints of God, as I begin to release the word of the Lord, amen, in this house to your pastor, and I begin to talk to you, amen, about a Samuel prophet, a hybrid, an individual that flows in the apostolic and the prophetic. Really, to be honest with you, the term is called the builder's anointing. That's what it's called. It's called the builder's anointing. And what I want to talk to you about, amen, really, this is a conversation between me and Pastor. You just have the opportunity to listen to the conversation. I want to talk to you for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes concerning the builder's anointing. Amen. What is the builder's anointing? Amen. Now, we understand, saints of God, that in the new covenant, the Bible teaches us that God is building a house that's not made by human hands. Amen. For the Bible lets us know that God, amen, has taken all different types of people from all different types of backgrounds. He's removed the walls, amen, that we have erected even inside the church. We understand that there is no black church. There is no white church. There is no Latino church. Come on in here, somebody. We understand that the day that we are living in right now, there is an emphasis, glory to God, on Hebrew or Jewish believers and Gentile believers. But Paul taught us in the word of God concerning, amen, the mystery. And the mystery in the book of Ephesians is how God has removed all the walls in the church and he's made us one new man in Christ. There is therefore now no Jew nor Gentile, no bond nor free, but we are all, the Bible says, one in Christ. Understand this, saints of God. Why am I going in this area? Because the builder's anointing is an individual that God has gifted to be a wise master builder. Oh God, it's not just a regular builder, but it is a master builder. And what I'm saying to you tonight, Pastor, remember, this is our conversation. Amen. I want you to know by the Holy Ghost, amen, you are called a wise master builder. Not just a regular architect, but a special architect. Oh God, have mercy. And what you need to understand tonight, saints of God, what's being built is not just edifices, facilities, land, properties. What's being built is you. But you must understand, and again, I'm just being introduced to the church, but I'm flowing by the Holy Ghost. You must understand that when you come into the environment of this church, you are not just coming to a regular church. Come on, the members should be talking louder than that. You are not coming to a regular church. And when you understand that you are under a wise master builder, you understand that the most important part of the building process is the foundation. There are so many weak believers, Pastor Luke, because their foundation is weak. There are so many believers that can't stand anything because their foundation is weak. You need to understand tonight, saints of God, your foundation, listen to me, is not prosperity. You better hear me. Your foundation, even though the kingdom is a very powerful teaching, Paul did not lay the foundation in the life of a believer, teaching them the kingdom message. As a matter of fact, the kingdom message is a higher level of understanding. What I want you to know tonight, Pastor, one of the first assignments that God has given you as a master builder is he has called you to do what Jeremiah was assigned to do. He said, Jeremiah, your first assignment when you come in contact with my people is to root out. He said, to pull down and to destroy. In other words, Jeremiah, before you can lay the foundation that I have called you to lay, you have got to tear down every faulty foundation. Now see, you got to understand this, because if you don't understand this, glory to God, people will be drawn away from the house instead of drawn to the house. I'm talking now, saints. You must understand, when people come to the church, you have to let them know, my pastor is called to be a wise master builder. And in order for him to build you, he has got to develop you, according to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, in the doctrine of Christ. If you are not established in the doctrine of Christ, if Christ is not your foundation, then you will never be able to handle crisis, because crisis comes to reveal the content of what's in you. Please tell somebody, your gifting is not who you are. Your character is who you are. And the problem with many of us is, when tests and trials come by God, see, understand this, for every wise master builder, God has got to let the material be, watch this now, God has got to let the material be, how can I say this, tested. Because a master builder must make sure that they are not building with wood, with hay, and with stubble. A master builder has got to make sure that he is building with precious material. And you are not precious material if you can't take nothing, if you can't take people talking about you, if you can't take attacks from the enemy, then you are not prepared to be, God, I might switch my message, you are not prepared to be a wise master builder, or material that the master builder builds with. The Bible teaches us, saints of God, that many believers in this hour, they are like the believers of the Laodicean church. Glory to God. Amen. They are declaring, pastor, amen, that I'm prosperous, that I'm in need of nothing. But Jesus turns around and says that you don't even know what you got Donald Trump got, what you got Warren Buffett got, what you got, you don't hear what I'm saying, do you? Do you? What you got regular people got. What I'm saying to you is, there is a prosperity that's coming from God that's not measured in net worth. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. When I'm talking about, saints of God, amen, the people of God that are prosperous and the people of God that are going to be used in this hour are the people that are refined. It's the people that, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of stuff they don't understand. I know this might be old and cliche-ish, but there is a people that will declare, I will bless the Lord at all times in his praises. You don't hear me. When trouble breaks out, I will bless the Lord. When I got bills due, I will bless the Lord. When I'm blessed, I will bless the Lord. I will bless. And I want to talk to many of you leaders in here, because you need to understand that when I walked into this building, I did not notice the pillars first. Let me say that again. I did not notice the pillars first. I didn't say, wow, that's a beautiful pillar. That's a nice pillar that's holding everything together. What a wonderful pillar. What I noticed was not just the infrastructure, but I just noticed the place. I noticed the stuff on the outside. What I'm trying to explain to you, can you be a leader in the house and work and go unnoticed? Go unnoticed by people. But even though people don't recognize you, how many of you know you got weight before God? Oh God, how many know you got the favor of God in your life? What I'm saying to you is, make sure everything that you are doing, you are not doing it just for the pastors to see you, the other people to see you. Make sure everything you do in word or in deed, you are doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do we have any disciples of Jesus in this house? So notice what he says, pastor. He says, the hands that have laid the foundation of the house. Amen. This is a wonderful thing. You are looking at a couple that are foundation layers of this house. Y'all don't hear me. There's a difference. Listen, church, there's a difference. Amen. When there's been a shift in a house and you've been brought into a house as a result of the shift. But then when you are in the house with people that have been there from the beginning and they are the foundation layers, you must understand, saints of God, I found out something about God. Amen. He loves the foundation layer. He loves the people that start a work. And what I want to tell you tonight, pastor, is the same hands that have laid the foundation is the same hands that are going to finish the work. I'm trying to tell you tonight, it's not going to be the next generation. This is the generation that will finish the work that God has started. Come on in here, somebody. An anointing to finish. I said an anointing to finish. An anointing to finish. Thy will be done, not begun. We got a lot of beginners, but not a lot of finishes. Thy will be done. It don't say thy will begun. Thy will be what? Done. Somebody say, I'm a finisher. Come on, say, God, give me the anointing to finish. Everything that I have started, I shall finish it. Make your mind up tonight that you are going to be a finisher. That you are going to complete what you've started. As I'm talking, I see somebody in the middle of a project. Amen. It could be a book that I'm seeing, but I see somebody in the middle of a project and you put the project to the side. I'm prophesying to you tonight, you are going to pick up what you put to the side and you're going to leave this church and you are going to finish the work. There's an anointing being released to finish. Oh man, now I want to shift. So as we get to the end of this, we talked about this earlier, we move forward and we begin to talk about the two anointed ones, the two anointed ones. Now remember, I explained to you earlier that the two anointed ones, they were pouring out of themselves, not a receptacle where they were pouring, the oil was coming from out inside of them, outside. Amen. Another word for them, oh God. Amen. And you can coin the phrase if you want to in this house. But another word for them was sons of oil. Sons of oil. Oh God, have mercy. And you can speak this in a feminine or even a masculine sense just for you to understand. Amen. But I want to declare that there are sons of oil and there are daughters of oil in this church. Amen. And the oil that's upon your life is the oil that's flowing down from the head. So if I were you, listen to me. Before I pray for my dog, my cat, before I pray for retirement, before I pray for whatever, I would make sure that I'm lifting my leaders up before God. Because the oil coming to me is the oil that must come on the head first. And it's supposed to be the same oil at the head to the bottom parts. Amen. So I want every one of you in here to know whatever God does in the life of your leaders, God does it in your life. Oh God, whatever God does in the life of your leaders, God does it in your life. Amen. When you see your pastor being elevated, thank God you are being elevated. When you see a new anointing coming on your leaders, amen, just like you are about to see, let me tell you this, your first lady, I already heard she's anointed already, but you are about to see first lady shift into a whole nother dimension. When you see it, don't hate, begin to celebrate and get under the place where when the oil begins to flow, you can receive yours. Come on, repeat after me. God, lift up Pastor Francine. Lift her to the places. Lift her to the heights that you have called her to go in. Say, I declare tonight that this is the season of ascension for Pastor Francine. In Jesus' name. Now, if you really believe that, give God a good clap. It's a season of ascension. A season of ascension. Praise the Lord. So as we go into the end of Zechariah, it begins to talk about the two anointed ones. Their assignment was to pour out a ceaseless supply of oil so that the work could be finished. Their assignment was to pour out a ceaseless supply of oil, Amen. So that the work could be finished. Amen. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 11. And this is where I'm going to spend the majority of my time tonight, in Revelation chapter 11. Man, oh man, I hope you're ready. So there was an angel that was released in verse number 1. The assignment of this angel was to do some measuring. Amen. And I really don't want to go into this particular area. Amen. But I want you got to understand, saints of God, the way that certain things manifest, they manifest by the glory of God, but they also manifest by the release of your faith. Amen. And so what I want you to release faith for tonight is I want you to release faith for the increase of your measurement. The increase of your measurement. In other words, saints of God, each one of us have a specific territory whereby we've been assigned. And I want you to understand that the provision of God for your life is when you find the place where you belong. When you are not in the place where you belong, the provision of God will not be there, because God's provision is connected to a place. It's not the provision you got to look for. You got to locate the place. You got to locate the place. You got to find where you belong. Amen. I know a lot of believers are claiming stuff, but really, to be honest with you, a part of our claiming is covetousness, because we are laying hands on what belongs to somebody else. We are claiming what belongs to somebody else. Are you hearing me? We are claiming a spot that does not belong to us. It belongs to somebody else. Amen. And I had to learn this the hard way. I'm not going to go into the whole lesson. Amen. But understand this. You will never have greater authority than in your place. When you operate in your place, you will chase demons. When you operate in your place, listen to me, before you wake up, while you are waking up. I remember one day, Pastor, I was waking up and I heard a voice say, uh-oh, he's up again. Why? Because I was in my place. You've got to locate your place. Man, somebody's pulling on me to talk about that, but I can't now. Amen. But you got to locate your place. There was an angel that began to measure. Now, one of the things that you can pray for is an enlargement of your territory. Amen. Now, I know many of you want to get large, but you don't want to enlarge. Listen, you can't get large on the outside until you enlarge on the inside. Your vision must increase on the inside. Your capacity to receive must increase on the inside. Amen. You must get big on the inside. Amen. Before it happens on the outside. So understand this. There was an angel sent there, and he began to measure. And as he began to measure, God began to speak to him concerning the court of the Gentiles. He said, don't measure that particular area. And then he begins to speak that for a 3.5 year period, there would be some things that would take place during what's called the tribulation period. And then all of a sudden it shifts and it begins to talk about the two witnesses. And when it talks about the two witnesses, it confirms that the textual context in Zechariah chapter 4 was actually the fulfillment of what was spoken there in Revelation 11. All right? And so now watch this. In Revelation chapter 11 verse number 3, he says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. I will give power unto my two witnesses. Hence the term power prophets. I will give what? Power. Oh, for thine is the kingdom, the power. Many people have stopped there, but there's another dimension called the glory. Let me tell you this. Now, anything that we got going on this week, I encourage everybody to come. But I'm just specifically speaking to those that are like 40 and over, 40 and over. I've been telling your pastor, I've been holding this. I'm going to wait until Wednesday. There's a revelation that God gave me because I understood. I asked myself the question as I was studying about Caleb. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. How could Caleb be 85 years old, watch this, and Caleb declare that he still felt like he felt when he was 40? I said, how can you be 85 years old and still feel like a 40-year-old? God, why did you wait till Sarah got 65 and then wait till she got all the way 90 before she was able to conceive and then birth Isaac? Amen. And I begin to understand something about the glory realm. Glory to God. And I want you to know, saints of God, in the glory realm, can I tell you that I learned that God can reverse time, God can stop time, and God can accelerate time. Watch this now. Some of you, when we release this glory, some of you are going to age physically, but your body will not age. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. What are you talking about? This is like, wait, saints of God, understand this. There's an assignment that God has on your life. And can I explain to you, if the enemy cannot stop the assignment, what the enemy's assignment is, watch this now, is to shorten your life. Amen. It's to shorten. I declare tonight in the name of Jesus, according to Psalm 91, God said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. So I'm telling you tonight, saints of God, as you get older, I'm declaring that you will not break down. I'm declaring, you are not breaking down. Glory to God. You are not going to be relegated, pushed to the side. Listen to me. This is the hour where, just like Caleb, you are going to declare, I'm 85, but I still feel 40. Give me my mountain. Give me my stuff. Give me what belongs to me. All of a sudden, God says, I'm going to give, watch this, power unto my two witnesses. What kind of power? It's called the power of prophecy. Not the power of prophecy a friend of mine is doing in my city. I'm from New York, so I don't know if you can put the picture together. Not that kind of power of prophecy. I'm not talking about pay for prophecy. I'm not talking about sow a seed and get a prophetic word prophecy. I'm talking about the power of prophecy. I'm talking about the power of prophecy that can shut down the so-called prophet. I'm still talking now. You have no idea where we're going to hit in a minute. He said, I'm going to give my two witnesses what's called the power of prophecy. Now, why do we need the power of prophecy? My daughter will tell you, my daughter that's here tonight, my daughter will tell you that I'm an individual. She's sitting in the back. I'm an individual. God gives me a lot of visions, Pastor, and a lot of dreams. And a vision God gave me about a year and a half ago. Pastor Creflo Dollar was having a meeting in Manhattan. There was about 10,000 people in the meeting. I was in the meeting, in the vision. As I was in the meeting, I saw four men. I noticed a man was profusely sweating. And when I looked at him in the vision, I knew that they were about to detonate bombs. And so basically in the vision, I began to run out of the church. As I ran out of the church, I stepped into another vision. I was in a vision with a preacher from Africa. And as I was there, I forgot his name, but when I see his face, I know him. And as I was there, somebody came into the church, and while the pastor was preaching, they stabbed the pastor. Everybody began to yell, all right? I went through vision after vision after vision after vision where I begin to see attacks against the church. Now, what's happening? In the hour that we are living in, saints of God, I want you to know that Satan is unleashing all he's got. And listen to me, there are a lot of people, whether you realize this or not, the more I pastor, amen, and the more I pioneer lead churches, I'm beginning to understand that there's a lot of people that come to church that's mentally unstable. Understand this. Some of you may not understand the industry, music industry. Some of you may not understand certain things. My daughter can tell you, can I explain to you that there are traumatic things that take place in the life of people at a young age, especially rape and those type of things, because the enemy is trying to traumatize a people, a generation, so that when the time of battle comes, he can activate the traumatized. Oh, God have mercy. But I want you to know tonight, saints of God, God also gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw a people that were going to unconventional places, and they were ministering deliverance to this generation. I want to prophesy to you, listen to me, that there are ministers of deliverance that are coming from this house. Get ready. You will cast out devils on the usual. You are going to be in Walmart, and you ain't going to say nothing, but the glory of God is in your life. And because the glory of God is in your life, right in the produce section, devils will come out. Listen to me, this is a season. I'm telling you right now, some people that don't like you, they don't like you. It's just them. The presence of God in your life alerts what's on the inside of them. And they are trying to get you to fight in the physical so that the spirit that's in them stays safe. But I want hell to know, anywhere Omar Martin is, the kingdom of darkness is not safe. You don't care what I'm saying. Everywhere I go, everywhere you go, get ready, devils will come out of this generation. Oh, God have mercy. Be seated. Now, why do you need the power of prophecy? Pastor, we can increase security. I got security right now, all of them. These guys are trying to get guns and this, that, and the other. But what happened to the days? I'm not knocking security, I got it too. But what happened to the days of men of God that really pray and that know what's gonna go on in the service before they get to the service? What happened to the days of the intercessors in the church? Even if the leadership doesn't catch it, the intercessors catch it. Come on, I don't know if I'm preaching to the right folk in here. What happened to the days where the man of God would be able to stand up and declare there's somebody that came into this service? The Lord said, if you don't repent, you are going to be walking out in a body bag. What happened to those days? I'm here to tell you, cross-cultural church, those days are back again, because where sin abounds, grace has so much more. Amen. We are living in an environment where young people are using pages in the Bible to roll up blunts. We are living in an environment, glory to God, where people will come right on the church parking lot and have sex purposely right on the church parking lot. We are living in the day, saints of God, amen, where the devil is not just hiding on the outside of the church. We are living in the days where the devil is inside the church with a title in a disguise. But I want you to know, I feel a glory in this church. There's a level of intercession, and there's a level of prayer that's about to go forth from this house. We are going to expose. We will expose the works of the enemy. We're talking about the power of prophecy. Something is supposed to happen when you speak. The Lord gave me an example. He just reminded me. Amen. I need a close leader of yours, Pastor, besides my buddy here that's the driver. Give me another close leader. All right, come up. Now, don't fail this test, man. Remember, I said you are sitting under a Samuel. The Bible says there is not a word that Samuel prophesied that fell to the ground. Now I'm talking to cross-cultural church. Are there things that your pastors have declared that have fallen to the ground? Are there things by way of vision that have fallen? He's getting it now. Okay, watch. I love this guy right here. Oh, he's good. He's good. All right. Now, because you already got it already. You already got it already. Just let it fall for a second. Just for a second. So your pastor declares, this is what we're going to do. And I don't know all the directions in this area. This is what we're going to do in the downtown of the church. I need everybody in the church to support it. Did you let that fall to the ground? You get that for me. Thank you. Your pastor says, I had a vision last night. Your pastor's wife says, the Lord spoke to me that we are supposed to go into this area and knock on the doors of whomever. All right? And we need support. Did you allow that to fall to the ground? Your pastor says, do you remember Apostle Luke and that other guy from New York was here last week? They begin to prophesy an increase in the church. They begin to declare. She's cool. They begin to declare. Listen to me. How many of you can say by a show of hands that you know your ministry? If every one of you know what God has called you to do, lift your hands up. Let me see your hands. All right, now be honest. Those that don't know what God called them to do, lift your hands up. All right, so more people had their hands up than down. All right, now listen. Remember I told you that this church is going to explode. How can the church explode if you don't know your ministry? Suppose I told you that me and you have the same ministry. Suppose I told you that you and Luke have the same ministry. Suppose I told you that you and your pastor has the same ministry. The majority would say that's not true. The problem with the church is we are calling our gifts our ministry. Your gift is not your ministry. What's your ministry? My ministry is prophetic. My ministry is apostolic. My ministry is I'm a dancer. My ministry is I'm this. No. That's your gift. The problem with us is we don't understand that God gives us gifts to fulfill our ministry. What scripture is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm glad you asked. Jesus said, all of those that I have reconciled unto myself, I have given them the ministry of reconciliation. You didn't hear what I said. Apostle, what's my ministry? You are a minister of reconciliation. What distinguishes you from me is your gifts. You don't hear me. You are supposed to use your gifts to fulfill your ministry. The music department here is awesome, but why don't I hear you in the world? You don't hear me. Understand this. Are there supposed to just be drug addicts in your city that's popping pills with a studio? Or should there be Holy Ghost anointed people with a studio that's putting out music to cast the devils out of the folk that's bound in the... Oh, come on, somebody. Your job is to go into all the world. Four of you are supposed to say, Pastor, don't worry about next week. I'm filling this section by myself. I'm gonna fill this section, all this whole section by myself. How you gonna fill this section? Because I understand that after I pray, I'm not supposed to now get built up. I'm like a car charged up that don't move. We have 12 o'clock prayer from Monday through Friday. We don't just pray. After we pray, now it's time to go reconcile. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Now listen, you don't have to go to the streets. But when was the last time you invited somebody from your job to church? When was the last time you went into the store, began to talk to somebody? Can I tell you, I spent just an hour with your pastor. He is very evangelistic. I declare an evangelistic thrust all in this church. This, oh, come on, somebody, catch it. This whole church. We have the same ministry, but different gifts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have the ministry. We are called to the ministry of reconciliation. Our job, listen to me. I want to prophesy to somebody that not one of your family members is going to hell. Not one. Come on, you're too low. I said you're too low. If I had family members that were not saved right now, I would be using my, I got aunt saved, uncle, nobody can die in my family without getting saved. No one will die in my family a Muslim. No one will die a Buddhist. No one will, come on, somebody. God said, I saved you so that your entire household can be saved. Come on, repeat after me, everybody in my family shall be saved. As for me in my house, as for me in my house, come on, I need everybody saying it, as for me in my house, we shall serve the Lord. Come on, say, Father, Acts 16:31 declares that salvation is for me in my house. Come on, I call in cousins. You do it now. I call in uncles. I call in aunts. Every family member in the city of Atlanta and Georgia. They got to come into the kingdom. Be seated. I'm almost done, Luke. This is the season where everything that comes out of the mouth of your man of God, everything that comes out of the mouth of your woman of God will be caught. This is the season that everything that comes, come up daughter, that comes out of the mouth or woman of God will be caught. Amen. This is the season, you can go back to your seat. I'm just unconventional. This is the season everything they say will be caught. See, she caught it. It's gonna be caught. Amen. It's gonna be caught. Amen. Some of you don't even know what's happening right now. Pastor, God is giving you runners. There are people that are about to run with the vision. Come on. Everything you say is going to be caught in this season. Come on. Nobody dropped it yet. Nobody dropped it. I'll give you another chance. Come on. Everything will be caught. Everything will be caught. Everything. That was easy. Repeat after me, everything that my leader speaks, that my leadership speaks in this season, I'm catching it and I'm running with it. Come on and clap. Man, it's about to get serious. The Bible says concerning these two prophets, there's specific miracles, Elijah type miracles, Moses type miracles, that God is going to give them to perform. But here's the part I want you to know. The Bible says they will flow in these miracles anytime they want to. If you don't believe me, read it in the text. It says they will, one will be able to shut the heavens. There will be no rain. Now, can I explain to you, when Elijah prophesied there was going to be no rain, it's because his generation was serving the god Baal, amen, and they were believing Baal for rain. And I want you to understand that the terminology, make it rain, that whole terminology came from the god Baal. So what I want you to know, saints of God, listen to me. There's a lot of houses of Baal in Georgia that's got to shut. Y'all don't hear me. There's a lot of places
where they are making it rain, and they are going, watch this now, for worship towards a priestess. And as they go for worship towards a priestess and they make it rain, the priestess is supposed to make them feel good in the natural. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, you have not seen worshipers yet, because many houses of Baal and many priestesses that are strip clubs that are operating, they will shut down. And those same folk that used to make it rain, those same folk that used to do all kinds of stuff, they're gonna come to the house of God. You are praying for souls, but are you ready for who's coming? I said, are you ready for God? We're praying for souls. God, send souls. Amen. God, send souls. I'm praying for souls right now. I'm praying for people to come in. Can I tell you, saints of God, people are coming. But when they come in with purple hair. They come in with yellow hair. They ain't gonna know how to dress. They ain't gonna know how to act. You know, hear what I'm trying to tell you. They ain't gonna know how to observe protocol. That's the reason why God says, what I want to do is I want to send revival to the house. Because when I send revival to the house, my people's hearts will be ready for the people that's coming. If you are, oh God, I see people coming. If you are ready for the people that's coming, come on, tell heaven, send them right now. Send them. We will love them. We will help them. We will embrace them. Oh God. God said, I'm going to give them the power of prophecy. When they open up their mouth and they declare and they speak and they speak a word, Elijah shut the heavens because his generation was serving Baal. And can I explain to you, saints of God, I don't got time to really go into the preaching of Baal. It will blow your mind when you begin to understand the levels of Baal worship that's in America. But let's forget America. If I told you the levels of Baal worship that's inside the house of God. There's a lot of things that we do, saints of God, amen, listen to me, that are Baal worship. Let me move from here. All right, but Elijah, when he prophesied that there would be no rain, listen to me, his prophecy went beyond, watch this now, it was not a religious prophecy. Watch the person that only prophesy in church. Why can you only hear stuff for Christians, but you can't hear nothing for sinners? I'm sensing something. Amen. But I never saw you sense nothing at the beach. I never saw you sense nothing when we were walking in the streets. Amen. Because the real gift of prophecy is for people that's outside the kingdom. Now I'm teaching. For when we understand Acts, the Bible declares that they all would be filled with power, the power of prophecy, so that people outside the church would know that God is with them for real. If you are a real prophet, you should be able to walk over to somebody that don't know God and say, you know what, I just keep hearing this name, Jimmy. Why can you only do that in church? Because Jimmy after your money, you don't hear me. Jimmy ain't after a soul. It's embarrassing. I almost want to cry. How are you a preacher and you are not leading people to Jesus? You are gifted, but I never see people saved. What I continue to see is a show. Are we here for a show or are we here for real power? Are we here for real Jesus? Come on, are we here for the real or are we here for the show? That's why people are tired of church. They said, I came to church, messed up, bad condition, Luke. I came, gave them a try. Interestingly enough, I came to the psychic. The psychic told me more than the pastor told me. The psychic told me more. The people that are supposed to be prophets, I'm sitting around them hurting, ready to kill myself. Nobody could pick that up. But I went to the psychic, and the psychic was able to pick up factual information about me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, listen to me. It's time for us to elevate. It's time for us to go to the next level. It's time for us to begin. Amen. Forget about crying for the Rolls Royce, crying for the Mercedes, crying for this, crying for that. When was the last time you cried out for your city? You cried out for the young people. You begin to cry out for the church. I know I might be talking to 10 people right now. I know you've been crying for your new job. You've been crying for your business. But can I tell you, your money is in the fish's mouth. Many of you will grab the money and kick the fish to the side. If you want the money, then go fishing. You didn't hear me. I said, if you want the money, you gotta go fishing. Jesus said, they that reap receiveth wages. You don't hear me. Do you know how to increase your pay in the kingdom of God? You have got to become a reaper of souls. Good God. He was talking about Robert Kyanja. Do you understand Robert Kyanja ministered somewhere in Asia? God used him in such a supernatural way. Amen. That the Asians, I don't know if you know this, amen, I've been praying for the Asian community. I got several Asians that's been coming to the church. The Asian community, especially when they are in China, can I tell you, because of that communistic setting and the way the government is structured, they own nothing. The government owns everything they have. That's the reason why most Asian people, when they come from out of their country and they come into America, they come buying houses. They come buying stuff and buying land and starting businesses. And to make a long story short, Robert Kyanja shares the story how he went into Asia and began to minister the gospel. Amen. And as he ministered the gospel, he ministered to somebody that was sick. Amen. He prayed for a person that was sick. They got healed. They were terminally ill. They got healed. This same person, when he was building his church, donated $3 million just for this healing. You remember? Amen. Many of us want donations without power. Many of us want donations without souls coming into the kingdom. Are you hearing me? You say, man, Apostle, how do I start? Can I explain to you, because most of us in the church, I don't know why I'm all over the place, but most of us in the church overeat anyway. What we've got to start learning how to do is, God, I don't know where to start, but what I am going to do this morning, I'm going to fast breakfast. And when I fast breakfast, I'm not going to just fast because I don't got no money. I'm going to fast according to Isaiah 58. And what I'm going to do is take what I would normally use for myself, and I'm going to find somebody struggling in my family. I'm going to find a poor person downtown Atlanta, and I'm gonna use for them what I would have used for me. How about starting there? Oh man, I'm trying to close. Here's this. I begin to read the book of Daniel. It began to shake me concerning this generation. The book of Daniel teaches us that in the days of the Antichrist, we know the spirit is here now, person's probably born even now, but in the days of the Antichrist, it says that the Antichrist, the individual, amen, that will be known as the Antichrist, will not regard women. I'm in the book of Daniel. Will have no regard for women. I begin to study in the book of Revelation, and I said, why did these people hate these prophets so bad? The Bible declares in Revelation 11 that after they finished their ministry, the Bible declares there was a beast that ascended from out of the bottomless pit. And as the beast ascended from out of the bottomless pit, amen, once they were finished their assignment, God allowed them to be killed. And the scripture declares that for 3.5 days, they allowed their dead bodies to lay in Jerusalem, but in the place spiritually called Sodom in Egypt. I said, God, why is the place called Sodom? And as I begin to seek the face of God, because the Lord, and I begin to research this now, I have a lot of Jewish friends, even guys that are not saved. And what they're saying to me is, they're saying, you Americans will be surprised when you come to Jerusalem. That's the way they call it. They say, when you come to Jerusalem, you will see the same problem in Jerusalem is the same problem all around the world. And I say, what's going on in Jerusalem? And they say, Jerusalem is becoming the capital for sodomites. Can I tell you, saints of God, that in the near future, I have a friend of mine's, amen, that used to be homosexual, very powerful man of God, amen, and he preached a message in our church, I'll never forget it, and he called it the Sodomic system. And what he began to say is, under the Sodomic system, the assignment of the enemy is to erase, be fruitful, and multiply. And he said, under the Sodomic system, what he's trying to do is get people to sow seed in ground where there's no growth. Please repeat after me. Every seed needs the proper ground in order to germinate. I told Pastor Luke this. When you begin, see, it's only people, and please excuse my way of saying it, but it's only stupid people that fight sowing seeds, because what they don't understand is, in Genesis, watch this now, God gave Adam a garden and God gave Adam seed. And the Bible says that there was seed within itself. So hit this, every seed has its own system. I don't know if you heard what I just said to you. Listen, I don't have to pray for apples. I just sow the seed that produces apples. I don't have to pray for pears. I sow the seed that produces pears. The Bible says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Rise night and day. Amen. Does not know what's going on underneath the ground. Can I tell you, the moment that seed goes in the ground, the system goes to work. And I'm telling somebody in here, as I prepare to close, you have got seeds in the ground. I'm prophesying to you that you are stepping into a season where your harvesting is about to overtake your sowing. You've been sowing more than you've been harvesting. But I'm telling you tonight that under the glory of God, the presence of God is touching your seed. You will harvest more than you sow. Jesus, the two prophets, amen, going back to them, the scripture declares, anytime they want, they can shut the heavens. Anytime they want, they can prophesy, blood comes to the waters. Now understand this, I was preaching one day, I told Pastor Luke this story. I don't know if you guys have black Israelites in this city. Okay, there's a lot of black Israelites in my city, amen. And let me just share with you, before I got saved, I'm a nice guy now. Wasn't a bad guy, but I wasn't no punk either. I was preaching downtown Brooklyn, all right? I grew up in a nice household, nice environment, but I grew up in the Fort Greene area. I grew up around killers, drug dealers, around all. Matter of fact, I grew up with the real 50 Cent. He was this tall, all right? I grew up with another guy named Killer Ben. I can go on and on and on and tell you the guys that I grew up with. Terrible guys. So all of these guys used to hang downtown Brooklyn. When I got saved, guess where I started preaching? I went straight downtown Brooklyn and began to preach the gospel. People would look at me, Pastor, and they would say, they would squint their eyes. Now, what, you 19 years old squinting, you know you can see. Yeah, it's me. They would say, is that Omar Martin? And I would be preaching and say, yeah, that's me. Black Israelites were across the street. I began to preach the gospel, Pastor, and it began to rain profusely on my equipment. The black Israelites begin to laugh. They begin to say, ah, this guy preaching that white Jesus stuff and this, that, and the other. I didn't hear rhema. God didn't speak to me. I just felt bold. But the people were leaving in front of me. I said, hold up, don't leave yet. They said, we leaving, it's raining. I said, if the God that I serve be God, the sun will shine where we are. It will rain on the other side on the black Israelites. While I was talking, the clouds open up, the sun began to shine, and it began to rain on the black Israelites. What I'm trying to tell you is, we want signs and wonders in the building. The signs and wonders belong outside. Remember, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. But that was connected with the gospel. That was connected with winning souls. What are you looking for signs for? You are a sign. You didn't hear me. You are a sign. You ain't praising God yet. I said you are a sign.
You are a miracle. You are a wonder. You don't hear me. Just about 8 years ago, I was driving past Brunswick, Georgia. Amen. Glory to God. Fell asleep on the road, Pastor. My van began to tumble several times. My daughter right there was inside the van. They said 90% of the people that get ejected out of the van have all kinds of broken bones and stuff. My daughter was cast out of the van, stood up with no scratch, no broken bones, no nothing. Amen. Nobody in the van died. A week before that, there was a van just like ours. Everybody in the van died. Now listen to me. What I'm trying to tell you is stop looking for signs. Stop looking for wonders. I am a sign and I am a wonder. The devil is wondering why I'm still here. The devil is wondering why you are still anointed. Oh, come on, somebody. You are a sign. Shut. Come on, if you got enough sense, at least lift your hands and give God glory. Something came that should have wiped you out years ago, and you are still here. I said you are still here. Glory to God. The Lord has kept you alive. Open up your mouth just for a few seconds and give him some glory. You are a sign. You are a wonder. I just gave you two testimonies. What about the shootings that came my way and I didn't get hit with one bullet? I'm a sign and a wonder. What about the guy that ran me through the club trying to stab me in my back? I am a sign and I am a wonder. Come on, keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Something's gonna happen. Keep clapping. If you act like you're thankful, I'm telling you, something's going to happen in here. You are a sign and a wonder. Enemy been plotting against you a long time, and you are still here. You are a sign and a wonder. Shia, there is an invisible wall around you. The devil been trying to get to you, but he's been smacking into the glory. You are a sign and a wonder. And then you mean to tell me God is talking about using you? You know where you came from. You know what you used to do. And God is talking about this great call upon your life. Come on, you need to raise your praise a little higher. God, you want to make me a power prophet? You want to use, you want to use me? Come on, raise your praise a little higher. Good God. The text declares that after, amen, their bodies are left in the city of Jerusalem, amen, the spirit of life from God comes back in their body and raises them up. Come on, give God some praise. Pastor Luke is coming up.